Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this time that you bless us with. I thank you for the lives that you've given us and the opportunities you provide us each and every day. We thank you most importantly for your eternal word. We change, we're up and down, our world is changing, Father, but you remain the same. Your word is eternal and everlasting, and we thank you for that. But we really need your help in understanding it. So please help us by your Spirit, help us to understand your truth and how it applies in our life, that we may live lives that honour and glorify you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about tonight's service, I was thinking about the youth. I was thinking about what I used to be like, because I'm not as young as I used to be anymore, as they reminded me with what I was wearing tonight. So I thought I was looking pretty cool, but I got a little bit roasted. So thanks, guys. But what I do love about their youth is their passion, their desire, and their drive. When they're captured with a greater purpose, they bring this energy and excitement about it. And when they're convinced of a great cause, they pursue it. Unfortunately, many of the time it's misdirected. It goes into other things in this world. But I can tell you that there's no greater purpose in life than to shine the light of Christ in your life. To shine the light of Christ in this dark world. And to shine Christ not to us now, but to all our friends, to all our family, to all people in our life. I just want to encourage all of us here to think about how can we be like the stars in the night sky? How can we be the lighthouse in the storm? How can we be that street light in the alley? So tonight I want to encourage the youth, but not only the youth, all of us here this evening, to continue to do what the youth have done tonight, and that is to shine the light of Christ. So if we could grab, we've got some slides here for some visual learning, hopefully. Hopefully it sticks in the mind. Alrighty, so a little bit of context for this passage. Jesus has been on earth doing his ministry for a little while, and he's doing some pretty awesome things. Things that no one else has seen before. And because he's doing these types of things, everyone's jumping on his bandwagon. If you want to be cool, you want to follow Jesus. So he has this massive following behind him. And so he heads up a hill. This is actually in Tasmania, and it was a lighthouse on an island. It's not in Jerusalem where he would have been, at the top of a hill in Galilee, sorry. But Jesus heads up a hill. And he's got his close mates with him and he invites them in, but also everyone else is jumping on board. They're following him up the hill as well. He begins to teach these people about what it means to be in God's family, to be in God's kingdom, and to live as one who is God's child. And so we get to our passage this evening in chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And Jesus tells us the kind of impact followers of him will have in this world. So let's have a look at the start of verse 14. You are the light of the world. So thinking about these words, the first thought that came into my mind was, who are the you? Who is the light of the world? Because if I'd never ever heard about Jesus, and I found this Bible, I'm walking along the road, I find a Bible on the side of the road, and I pick it up, and they're the first words I read. And I read, you are the light of the world. What does that mean? Is that for me? Who is this actually speaking about and who is it for? Now, as we were just speaking about in the context, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to people who have chosen to follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, we see it's Andrew, Peter, James and John. They're people who were called by Jesus. They heard his call and they responded by following him. So we learn that those who are the light of the world are those who hear and respond to Jesus' call to follow him. And for us tonight, that means those who trust in Jesus and follow him as their Lord. The next thing I thought was, why are they light? How are you a light of the world if you're following Jesus? So the next couple of questions is, the next thing I thought was, why are they light? A couple of things that are needed to answer this question. Firstly, the fact that the followers of Jesus are light of the world means there's darkness. He wouldn't say you're light if there was no darkness. So there must be darkness somewhere. Light is needed in the world, and since a person becomes this light through faith in Jesus, it means it ties in closely with Jesus. So this gets to our second point needed to answer the question. How does faith in Jesus make us the light of the world? Now to answer this, we need to understand two things. Who we are as human beings and who Jesus is. So firstly, who we are. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, it says that we were once darkness. Now, darkness in the Bible is symbolic for sin. It's symbolic of our sinful nature. It's a nature that wants to rule our own life apart from God. Our nature that loves to do things that God commanded us not to do. It's a nature that loves to think that we can do enough good things that God will actually owe us a good life. It's that nature. Now, because of this nature, we were dead. That is, we're spiritually separated from God, deserving of eternal punishment. And even worse, because we're dead, we could do nothing about it. And what is more, the Bible tells us that we love the darkness because it hides all the evil things we desire and it hides all the evil things we do. And we see this in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Do you understand this nature within you? This desire that wants to run away from a holy God? Well, since we're dead, since we're in the dark, what can we do about it? What can a dead person actually do? Absolutely nothing. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 12, verse 35, as you can see in the verse above, that those who walk in the dark don't actually know where they're going. So how can they help themselves? So that's who we are, dead and in the dark. So how, through faith in Jesus, can we be a light of the world? Well, it's all depending on who Jesus is. It all depends on what he has done. It's about who we have faith in, not about ourselves. Because as we know now, that there's no light and there's no life within us. So let's read a couple of verses. I'll just have them up on the slide if you're able to read along. I'll read them out loud. In John chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, it says, "In him, that is Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And in John chapter 12, verse 46, it says, "I've come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So as we read in God's eternal truth, when we trust in Jesus, we receive this life and this light in our life. Through faith in Jesus, we're brought from death to life, from darkness to light, as we see in Colossians, in that bottom verse there, Colossians 1, verses 13 to 14. But we need to consider how this was done, because this was a great cost. On the cross, Jesus bore our sin. He bore our wrongdoing and the punishment that we deserve. He shed his blood so that we can be forgiven, dying in our place. But he rose again after 3 days to eternal life, so that those who believe in him receive all that he achieved on the cross, and we are brought into right relationship with God for all eternity. Now, many of us are familiar with this. We hear this a lot, but it's for good reason, because this is the foundation of our faith. This act of Jesus is what brought us from death to life. This act of Jesus brought us from darkness into light, and we need to continue to remember this. But how, again, does this make us light of the world? Can you see that lantern there, kind of? It's a bad image, sorry, Mitch. Some of you might be old enough to remember these. These are old street lights or lanterns that used to have to be lit manually. So someone would walk around with a flame and they put a light in the lantern. They weren't 24/7 lights, they weren't running on electricity. They were much like candles. They needed someone to actually light them. Without light, they're pointless. They stand there empty and lifeless. They're doing nothing. Much like us without Jesus. Because when we're dead and in darkness, we are like these unlit lampposts. But when we put our faith in Jesus, his light and his life is brought into our life. And we receive this through faith in him. His light passes into our lives. It's like he's lit the lamp. And therefore, we're the light of the world because the light of Jesus is shining from within us into the dark world. It's a really I'm not sure if you can read that verse, but it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." The power of God's word in creation has been spoken into our life through Jesus Christ, bringing light and life into us. Is this making sense? How Jesus is light in us. So let me ask you, do you have the life and light of Christ in you? Have you seen the gracious light of life offered to you in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you trust that he died for you, taking the punishment that you deserve, giving his life over so you can be forgiven for your dark deeds? Do you believe that he rose again and can give you new and eternal life? Now, if you do believe this, you are the light of the world. So, next question. What is the purpose of being a light of the world? What is the point of shining the light of Christ in our life? What do we do with this light? We see the answer in the rest of the passage in verse 14 through to 15. If you'll read that with me. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Now, we see in these verses a very clever teaching technique. Something that shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus is the master teacher. He's the great teacher. He makes two statements that make us think, yeah, obviously it couldn't be that. And then he uses these two statements to drive home the point that will impact our life. So the first obvious statement is, "A town on a hill cannot be hidden." Now remember, they're on top of a hill. So he might have noticed that some people are losing attention, they're starting to look elsewhere, maybe check their phones. And he wants to grab their attention again. He says, yeah, "A town on a hill can't be hidden." So they're on top of a hill and they might be like, oh yeah, let's have a quick look around. And they might be able to see some other towns that are on the hills around them. But I'm there in the crowd and I'm thinking, okay, I've heard about you, Jesus. You've been doing some pretty awesome miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing some pretty cool things. And you say something this obvious, of course a town on a hill can't be hidden. Are you going to say that the sky is blue? What's the point of it? Why would he say something so obvious? Well, the point is obvious. A town on a hill is not meant to be hidden. It's meant to be seen. That is the point. We then see the next obvious point. People don't just light a lamp to hide it. Again, I'm thinking, I'm in the crowd, seriously, why would you say something so obvious? Of course you don't light a candle, a lamp, and then hide it. So let me guess what you're going to say next. The grass is green. Of course it's green. But think of the imagery he's bringing to us. When you light a lamp, when you light something, what's the point in covering it? Why are you doing it? It just goes against all the purpose of what you're trying to do. It's so foolish. But with this kind of build-up, with these obvious statements, Jesus then nails us all. A light is put in a place so that when it's flicked on, everyone knows, everyone's going to be touched by it. It's going to affect everyone in the room. And he makes it really personal by moving it into the house. Think of the light in your lounge room. Where's the best place it's going to give light? Is it on the wall in the corner somewhere? Is it on the floor? Or is it in the middle of the room, in the middle of the ceiling? That's the most effective place to put the light. Jesus and life and light is meant to shine through our lives in this dark world. And he made it really personal by moving it into our homes. Every person that we come in contact with, Christ's light is to shine into their life. So do you get how this applies to you? Are we going to cover up our light? Are we going to hide it? Now, even though we might scoff at the foolishness of some of these teachings here, we do it so often, we hide our light. And have a think about how we can do this. Sometimes it's through fear. We fear that if people know that we're a Christian, we fear that if we mention the name of Jesus, that people will reject us. Some of it is shame. Christians, living a Christian life is definitely not cool. So we don't want to be weird. We don't want people to think we're those weirdo Christian people. Indifference. We trust in Jesus, but we're not really too concerned with following him as Lord. There are many other things we want to do for ourselves, many other things we want to achieve before we actually follow Jesus. And we put no time or effort in our relationship with him. Maybe we even prefer the darkness. There's a desire to hang on to these dark things in our lives that we don't want to let go of. We don't want to let the light of Christ shine in our hearts, let alone other people's lives. Or compromise. Maybe we want to show that as Christians, we're not that different from the world. We listen to the same music, we follow the same groups, we have these similar lifestyles. We don't want to seem that different. Maybe we compromise. Just recently at a youth group leaders meeting, I was going to claim this quote as my own, but it's not. It's someone else's. I don't know why this quote hit me so hard, but it says this: your life does not lie. Your life does not lie. So as much, this hits me pretty hard because I'm telling people, shine the light of Christ. You know, do these things, tell people about Jesus, be bold in Christ. But it means nothing if I'm not personally living it out. It's much easier to say it than actually live it. Do I shine Christ in my life? Now, most of my life, most of my Christian life, I've been a hider. I'm the cover-up type of guy. I was quite scared about becoming a pastor because it meant I actually had to tell people, strangers, that I'm a Christian. And because I'm such a people pleaser, I really want people to like me. And I know that doesn't always get you out on the right foot. So often as if I'm talking with people, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a pastor, and it's literally the end of the conversation. And I don't like that because I'm like, oh man, do they not like me now? Like, just one of my weird things. But I've learned that even when we're scared, when we want to cover up the light of Christ in us, God in his goodness and his grace will put us in places and situations, in locations that will allow the light of Christ to shine brightly to those around us. So have a quick think right now. Where are you at right now in your life? Because this is exactly where God wants you. Are you allowing Christ to shine brightly to those around you? You've got your workmates, you've got your schoolmates, you've got your friends, your family. Are you allowing the light of Christ to shine brightly to those around you? And again, think of the purpose of light. Is it to cover it up? No, it's not. It's to shine. It's to shine in the darkness. And so we get again to the purpose and practical teaching of tonight's passage in Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. Will you read it with me? In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the light of Christ in us is to be seen by and reach to the people in our life. So how does the light of Christ shine? Well, we see it through our good deeds. Now, what is meant by this? Oh, that was for my last point, so. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, it says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. So this is living in obedience. This impacts our everyday life. Because it doesn't mean that we all become missionaries. That's not what it means by shining the light of Christ. Even though I pray that God will call some of you to mission. It doesn't mean that we all go into full-time ministry. Again, I'm praying that people will go to full-time ministry. It means honoring God with your work, honoring God with your marriage, with your parenting, with your schooling. And you do this by loving him and loving those around you. And it's summed up in that bottom verse there by Jesus declaring the two greatest commandments. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So again, have a think. How are you showing the light of Christ? By loving God and loving those around you. Because there's a greater purpose than just shining in the dark. The life that shines Christ will create a response in people that you shine his light to. Did you see that in chapter 5 verse 16? People will see your good deeds, the godly life you live, and they'll tell you, man, you're such a great example for us. They'll go, oh, I wish I could live that way. I just can't do it. They'll see oh man, you're really awesome. It's great how you can live such a disciplined life. That is not what it says. They'll see the light of Christ in your good deeds and they'll glorify the Father in heaven. Now this is the first time that God is referred to as Father in the New Testament. So we're reminded immediately of the deeply personal, the deeply loving, the deeply relational position we are in when we're brought to God through faith in Jesus. And this connects to the idea that God is the greatest thing to live for. As mentioned at the start, I love the youth because of their passion and their drive. However, it can be misdirected or misguided. The things that they can pursue are done out of selfish motives or actually aren't that important. But it does show this wonderful thing, this deep desire within all of us to live for something greater than ourselves. And we have that in God. He is much bigger, He is much greater, and yet much more loving than anyone or anything else in this world. And He is the one who deserves all the glory. And we know this because there's no good in us. There's nothing God glorifying in us. It's Christ in us. That is the good. And so God gets all the praise. Yes, God gives us different gifts and abilities. He gives us a heart that loves and cares for people. But this isn't for our glory and our praise. It is for His. And Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So the purpose of being a light in this world is to glorify God, to shine our light in a dark world so that people can get a glimpse of our glorious God. Why is this so awesome? Why is this the greatest thing to live for? Well, firstly, it takes the pressure off of performance. It's not about us and our strength, it's about God and His strength. It relies on and it points to the one who can make lasting changes, eternal changes in this world. And it allows us to truly enjoy life. It allows us to genuinely love people and be interested in them for who they are. It allows us in good circumstances or bad circumstances, in success or failure, to continue to point to God and say that He is good. The reason I love you in this situation is because God loves me. Who is it that truly transforms or changes people? Who is it that brings people from death to life? Who is the light in this dark world? Now, as we live a godly life, people will see it and notice it. And we can tell them, no, it's not about the good in me. It's about the good God in me, who lives within me. And this is what leads to people to glorifying God. It will lead to people being drawn to Christ, to Him, rather than you and your personality and your strengths. It will lead to God and His life within us. So as much as it's important that we follow Christ, that we live godly lives, there's a greater purpose than being blessed by God by living in a way that pleases Him. The purpose is to glorify God. And with all that we've learnt about ourselves, about who Jesus is and what it means for us when we put our faith in Him, it is easy to see, easy to be able to point people to our glorious God because of all that He's done for us in Christ. So let me ask you again, do you have this light in you? Because I want to invite you into the light of God's grace found at the foot of the cross. Do you have this light in you? I want to encourage you to shine brightly in whatever situation of life you're in, not because you are good, but because of the good one in you. Do you have this light in you? I want to encourage you to pull away all hindrances, turning this light from yourself and your life and shining to God. Do you have this light in you? Treasure it. Love it. Thank God for this wonderful light and let it shine brightly in this dark world. Will you pray with me? Father, I just really want to thank you for this evening, this time of life that you blessed us with. Thank you for the youth and the willingness to serve us this evening, and what a great job they did. We praise you for that. We thank you for the desire that you placed in our life to live for something greater than ourselves. And we thank you that this desire is met when we trust in you. How much greater you are. Thank you that faith in you takes pressure off ourselves and our performance and our good things. And for us to be able to just continually point others to you. Help us to live good lives so that when people see our good deeds, they will glorify you. And they'll know to glorify you because we tell them it's you in us. Help us to be a light in whatever situation we are in. Help us to be caught up in your glory and your love and your grace and your kindness. Help us to remember that we can call the Almighty Creator our Father. And help us to always remember what that cost. The life and death of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I just pray, Father, specifically for this week coming ahead, that you'll provide one person for us, that we may be able to tell them about your goodness in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.